Lucy, Ed and Erin have discovered that Canberra is Australia's best kept secret. Discover Canberra for yourself on us at hit.com.au.
Good morning and get up, now count me in.
Lucy, Ed and Erin, Lucy, Ed and Erin.
Gather on your radio now for Lucy, Ed and Erin.
The Hughesy, Ed and Erin podcast.
That's Lizzo herself there.
Yep. Did she say Sydney's Today FM? Was that her voice?
Yes.
Can we play the song that, because I'm, you guys know I'm not that up to date with music or modern music. What's the song, Nick?
The big one.
Her big one.
I reckon that was the song of 2019. What year are we saying? I'm going 2019.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I'll go 2020.
All right, someone who knows the year that song came out will win tickets to Lizzo.
Okay, so.
Wow.
The one and only Lizzo live in concert, Sydney's Kudos Bank Arena, Sunday, July 23rd. Tickets available Tuesday, March 28th at midday via the Live Nation pre-sale. Go to livenation.com.au to register, or if you know what year that
play the song
again. Came out.
Play the song again.
You
call us, what year did that song come out?
Good as hell, yes.
And right now, it can be you. The board is empty. 13, yep. 10, 60. What year did Good as Hell come out? You be the first one on to tell us what year, and you win tickets to see Lizzo live in concert.
Massive, and this is very rare for me, but I would err towards the side of Hughesy.
No,
I'm just saying. I don't want to be responsible for leading someone astray.
Well, I'd like them to come up on with their own merits. What year?
Okay.
Good as how?
Right.
I was watching her on a chat show with Salma Hayek and Sheryl Crow last week. Lizzo, Salma Hayek and Sheryl Crow. And it was very interesting, the banter between them.
And how old is Sheryl Crow, if you can tell us that as well?
56?
Yeah.
Hello, Amy from Penrith. What year did it come out?
2019, baby.
Play the song.
I do my hair.
Boom. Amy, you go to Lizzo.
Woohoo!
Before the pandemic. God, that song just took over.
Yeah, because then you couldn't do your nails, could you? Because we're all locked in. You couldn't do any beauty treatments. God, that was horrific.
That is just an empower. Have you been empowered by that song, Amy, over your last 3 or 4 years?
We played it at our wedding in 2019, just before the pandemic started.
There you go.
Wow.
That is someone who deserves to see Lizzo live.
Wait, like walking down the aisle, Amy, or?
No, me and my wife played it at our reception.
Oh, yeah,
love that.
There you go.
Good as hell.
And it was one of the first super spreader events, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Amy. Now, here is some Lizzo, and Sheryl Crow is
61, apparently.
Yeah, so. She looks, 61's still a baby, but she looks incredible.
Are we going to come back and talk to the man who saved my life with his pilotry?
Yeah, I suspect there's creative license. You got your headline, your near-death experience, but I don't know if it was near death. I need to delve deeper.
The Hughesy, Ed and Erin podcast.
Yeah, we had Amy on who played Lizzo at her wedding, and she's got tickets. She's so excited about it.
She was amazingly pumped up from Penrith. Love it.
That's the headline for today. What was the headline for, I think, Monday on this radio show?
I'll take your pick. There was a few. One of my favourites was Dave Hughes, millimetres from death in light plane near miss while flying back from Outback comedy gig as chilling last photo from his Instagram live stream is revealed.
Chilling. It was a chilling photo. It was a chilling video that I took on the plane, with my pilot, the two of us. It was extraordinary. It was extraordinary.
You mean this one?
We're about to take off. I'm not allowed to touch those. Whoa. Murder. We're in the air.
The bird of death.
You did move on quickly, though, from the bird thing.
The bird of death.
This is an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
It was a bird attack. Tried to take us down.
All right, that's enough of this.
Let's ask someone else who was there, could we, potentially? You. Yeah.
Enough of this headline-grabbing scumbaggery. Let's go to an actually qualified individual, Jake the Pilot from Australian Air Safaris. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Look, I'm coming down from that experience, Jake.
Have you recovered yet?
Well, will I ever recover? Well, you know, I probably have to go to therapy. But Jake, you, I'm thanking. You are a great pilot. Can we just put our hands together
great
for Jake?
Great job, Jake.
Thank you.
Well done, mate.
A wonderful pilot who is calm, always calm, no matter what's going on around him.
Jake, have you been up in the air since?
I have actually. And you know what? I was actually at that airfield 2 hours later, and it's safe to say that bird is alive, happy and well, and it was eating bugs off the runway
still
like
there,
doing in front of us.
Still there.
So fair to say, Jake, you weren't traumatised by this life-threatening, almost death experience.
Yeah, not a near-death experience for us, but I think the bird might have thought differently.
No, but Jake.
I thought the near-death experience was on stage at the Comedy Festival, but anyway.
Come on, Jake.
Sorry.
Come on, Jake. No, all jokes aside, Jake, you did tell me after the bird flew past us and missed us by millimetres, and that is true.
It was quite close, yes.
It was quite close. And you saw the vision, you saw it live because you were there. You were flying the plane.
I did. I saw it before you even noticed it, and I thought, this is only happening because you're Instagram live.
If we had to hit the bird, we would have had to land, wouldn't we, and check the plane out?
Yeah, look, in all seriousness, birds can be quite hazardous to aircraft, but our company's been doing outback air tours for nearly 40 years, and it's never been an issue before. But yeah, if something was to have happened, then we would have just returned around. But I can assure you, we wouldn't have been doing a crash land. I don't think Tom Hanks would have been getting casted
Sully.
For a sequel to
Sully.
Sully, where he landed in the lake. No, Jake, he landed in the river, didn't he? The New York River.
What
the
Hudson River.
Hudson River.
Jake, fair to say that you would classify the story told by Dave Hughes on this network as a gross embellishment, a falsification,
no,
potentially.
It was not falsification. Yeah. No, we're not going with falsification.
Potentially an exaggerate. Potentially he's dramatized.
Yep.
Or do you give credit to his account?
I don't know. Our definition of incident might be different.
No, look, it was everyone has their own experience. You know, no, I saw the bird.
Right. Exactly.
I videoed the bird. The bird it's on the internet for people to see.
If you felt near death, then none of us have any right to take that away from you.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, but what people don't know about Jake is that he's also a professional saxophonist, aren't you, Jake?
I am indeed.
Oh, saxophonist.
Is this Jake?
This is Jake.
Do you ever get confused with which job you're doing, Jake?
Sometimes. Look, I've had the good fortune of being able to actually fly and play at the same time.
That could have been near death.
I've worked closely with James Morrison for many years, and James had his own aeroplane, so we used to fly the band around and do gigs. And
So Jake is he's the pilot and he gets on stage. He's a double threat.
That's it. I just haven't done it in flight yet, flown and played at the same time. So that's on the bucket list next.
Why couldn't you?
Yeah, I love
think
that.
You could. I mean, I could have taken the controls and you could have got the saxophone out.
Yeah, that definitely would have been a near-death experience.
Well, Jake, you obviously you're an incredibly competent pilot, and well done for keeping our man alive, because we would have really missed him.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. And look forward to flying again sometime soon, Husey.
Mate, anytime in the air with Jake. It was just me and him in the plane. It was almost romantic, some would say, Jake.
It was almost romantic, yes.
Yeah, but I like saxophone work. That's not a saxophone pilot. Thank you, Jake, from Australian Air Safari.
The new Today FM. Has Chris Hemsworth made a misstep, him and his wife, for the first time in a long time? Some of the most famous people in the world. Chris, he's rich, isn't he?
Very rich. Mind you, the skincare company she was a face of did go a little bit bust last week. So the missteps there.
But you know, but the good news is you can still buy the other company that looked exactly like hers.
Well, you know.
The one that accused her company.
You don't know what. Great news. What goes on with those companies? It's hard.
I know, it's hard.
You've got to have a go.
But look.
You don't have a go, you never make any money.
No, that's a great point, even if it is at the expense of a local small operator. We don't know.
Know.
But we do know that it was their son's ninth birthday.
Yeah.
In fact, twins.
They've got twins.
Birthday. Yeah, they've got a set of twins and then an older daughter, but it was a twin's ninth birthday, and Chris Hemsworth has done a post. And the post features him with no sleeves on his shirt, obviously, as if you would ever cover those arms, yeah, with guns. His hands on his hips, the guns. And then his wife, Elsa, his two kids, are obviously another friend. And what she's doing is essentially she's holding, so his head is in the cake and she's put her hand over the top of his head. And he's talking about the fact that mum slams your head into it face first, that it's like a tradition in their family.
Yeah, it's tough love. It's, you know,
I mean, it's not a video, so it's not like she forcefully has smashed his head down into the cake.
She clearly has.
Well, I don't know. You're saying before that we can't make assumptions, so we don't know how his face ended up in the cake. But, of course, people have got very angry about this. They're branding it violent abuse.
82 Spaniard has gone, happy birthday to the not-so-little weapons kiss.
No, that would be the majority of people who couldn't care less, but that's not what articles are.
Shane Mitchell's gone, that is a proud dad stance right there.
Well, you're looking at the actual photo with comments. What these clickbait publications do is find one or two awful comments or mean ones or accusatory ones and make stories about it. Those kids are going to grow up to be able to take a joke. Oh, wait, that's positive. So what is this story?
I think
one person who's really angry and maybe unwell and potentially a fake account has said that it's violent.
You two should do it. Recreate it. Get a cake. Get a face. Actually, get into it.
You know what? That's, I reckon, top seven best ideas you've ever had. I'll do that this morning. Vegan you can cake. Smash my face in. Smash yours in.
It'd be more... Yeah, who's like if
you're
I?
Face
what's more socially acceptable?
More socially acceptable is you smash my face.
Okay, I'll smash your face into a cake.
Yeah, but then no one cares. But if I smash your face into a cake,
well, let's do it then. Let's test. Let's do both and see who cares more.
Yeah, right. Who gets the more
the more hate or the more love?
But it's all interaction, and that's what you know. That's what the old. It's all Instagram want. He's had
anyway. I think it's utterly ridiculous. I mean, they're not gonna. She literally like he's not gonna come up with blood streaming and a broken nose. Like clearly, they're taking the Mickey.
But anyway, it's had almost 1.4 million likes.
Yeah, that's depressing.
I'd put a photo up and you know get 100 likes.
Yeah, if that on a good day.
Shut up.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Concussion, guys, is a massive topic at the moment.
Yeah, it's hit the spotlight in professional sport and for good reason, Erin.
Someone who played rugby union, Michael Lippmann, has been diagnosed with early onset dementia at just 40 years of age. And we wanted to talk to him about, well, I guess how this has turned his life upside down, how it's happened, and also whether he'd let his kids play the kind of sports that he did growing up.
So yeah, co-author of the book Concussion by Michael Lippmann and his wife, Frankie Lippmann, former international rugby player. Michael Lippmann, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Talk to me about being the dad of two young kids, being a husband, and, you know, life starts at 40, being told that you have early onset dementia. Take me to that moment when your doctor sat you down and told you this.
Yeah, it was soul-destroying. It was heartbreaking. It was demoralizing, and I felt, I guess, during my years playing rugby and certainly up until that moment at 40, you always thought, you know, everything was going to be okay and you're invincible and you can, you know, live out life to the fullest. But then all of a sudden, you know, the world comes sort of crashing down on you. You know, it's been over 3 years now since the diagnosis, and I still find it hard to come to terms with, but every day you just keep working and working and working on yourself. But yeah, it was very tough at that time.
What does life look like day to day for you? Like, have you noticed a deterioration over the past 3 years?
I have. And I always think I'm getting better. I'm like, I'm getting better. So I'd go back and see my neurologist, Dr. Rowena Mobbs. And I'd get retested, and then she was like, "Oh, unfortunately, you know, it's not as good as your last time." And I was like, "So your brain is deteriorating. It is getting smaller. It is, you know, everything's not working as it should. And you're only 43, and it just goes all the emotions just click over all over again."
But there's also a lot of people relating to your situation. A friend of mine is a former AFL player and, He was a very good player, and he's only young. I won't say his name, but he's in his mid-30s, mate. And he said he was at the supermarket the other day with a shopping, like a basket in hand, and then realised he'd left the house just to get petrol. And he'd like come to in the supermarket almost. And he's like, he's thinking the concussions are leading to that situation. So you must have a lot of former players who are also suffering, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think just on what your friend is going through, that's obviously disorientation. I go through that on a nightly basis. My poor wife, you know, she struggles to sleep with me simply because I get up and, you know, I think the bathroom door is, you know, an actual TV, and I took it off the wall. On Sunday morning, I woke up at 8:30 in a severe panic going, oh, my God, it's Monday morning. Everyone get ready for school, and we're going to get the kids ready for school, start making lunches, do all that. So that is a total disorientation of not knowing where you are and how you really got there and what is actually going on.
Finally, I just want to ask about your kids, and there's two parts to it. A, would you let them play a contact sport like you have, given what's happening to you now? And B, how much have you told your kids about what's happening to you and what will continue to happen to you, and how hard is that conversation?
Look, I would let them play. I mean, I want kids to remain in contact sport. I mean, how good are the games that we've saw? You're never going to be able to change, you know, the possibility of people getting concussed in any sport or daily life. You can't control that. And you want kids to play contact sport or play any sport, follow their dreams. But what you can control is how you are treated after a concussion occurs. And having that, yeah, you know, internal open and honesty, because concussion, you can't see it, you can only feel it. I have a chat with our 11-year-old, and that was a couple of years ago, and she said, yeah, I thought maybe, you know, something might be up. You know, she got a little bit emotional, but then accepted it. She knows that sometimes I get frustrated for no reason, and then I'm very quick to apologize. But there's only so much you can tell them. The four-year-old, he's just a bull at a gate, so it's hard for me to tell him anything. But certainly our 11-year-old, she knows, accepts it. But that's going to be a really hard conversation, especially when they're mid-teens.
What you're doing is so important, and it's going to help a lot of people. So, yeah, all credit to you and your wife.
Thank you. Well, the number one thing, all we want to do is make sure people come out of the closet and go and get help and go and see someone if you're not feeling right. There's no shame in that.
The book is called Concussion by Michael Lippmann and his wife, Frankie Lippmann, former international rugby player. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
The Husey, Ed and Aaron podcast.
The opposition leader in New South Wales, who is 3 days, is it? Yeah, that's 72 hours away from the moment of truth. Chris Minns, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Husey. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Ed. Nice to see you.
What time does the booths open on Saturday?
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yeah, you can pre-poll now though at your local.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're just around the corner here.
Already people voting. Yeah, we don't know who they voted for, but yeah.
Has there been a record? It seems really busy whenever I'm driving home.
Yeah.
Have you seen any numbers or kind of figures? Do you have any idea of how many people have gone to the polls early?
No, but interestingly, it's normally 2 weeks, and it's only 1 week this time. Oh. So yeah, people are cramming it into the last couple of days.
According to the betting agencies, they're all voting for you because you're $1.20 favourite. So Perrottet is $5 to win.
That's like good value, actually.
You might get on Perrottet.
Well, I mean, I don't know who's going to win, but $5 in a two-horse race is maybe someone is counting the balance. Someone at Sportsbet.
Speaking of your adversary, Dom Perrottet, the current Premier, a big story, we've been running it in our news a couple of times this morning, came out on Sky News last night that his wife was really quite ill. I think it was paralysed in bed is the way that he described it. And it's been revealed that he rang the health minister, who was with the boss of New South Wales Ambulance, and it was in some way, shape or form sorted that an ambulance was sent to his place. And this is off the back of Ambos coming out and saying how tough things are at the moment. They're having to leave non-critical patients. People are waiting extended periods of time. The Premier has said that the system works and that it's good, and then comparatively speaking, it's going well. What's your reaction to this story? Because he looked uncomfortable when it was brought up last night. I'm in two minds. I feel like it's a hard situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the circumstances other than what I heard on this morning in the media. And I don't know what I would have done in those set of circumstances. And obviously, you know, it's up to the Premier to talk about it. I mean, I think it's all of our responsibility to work on the health system as far as we're public officials. If you look at particularly ambulances in New South Wales, one in four wait 30 minutes out the front of an emergency department before the patient can even get inside. And in EDs in New South Wales, one in 10 people are waiting more than 18 hours to be given a ward. We're seeing patients that are stuck in hallways.
So that's the issue more so, isn't it? Not so much what he did, which he says is call a close friend in Brad Hazzard, who also happens to be the health minister. He said he didn't ask for any favours. It's his constant assertion that the system is perfect, essentially. Is that the issue?
Well, it's certainly true that the system is not perfect. And if you speak to nurses in particular, 6,500 have resigned in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. And you speak to any emergency department nurse or midwife, they will say, we're at our wit's end. The only reason we keep going, this is the most of them, the only reason we keep going is that if we go, no one's there to fill the position. Mm-hmm. And they feel a guilt or anxiety about doing their job. Now, they shouldn't have to do that, particularly after the last 2 years of COVID, where they saved all of our skins. They were incredible people.
Yeah, so we need to focus on the health system. That's reasonable, isn't it?
Yes. I think that's right. And, you know, I will take issue with Mr. Perrottet's assertion that the health system is the best in Australia and they've invested record amounts and nothing much needs to change. We've got a retention crisis when it comes to health workers. So many people are leaving, they're going to other jurisdictions, they're not staying in the system. And, you know, to get political, we are proposing policy changes. So one nurse for three patients in emergency departments, one to four on wards. The reason we're doing that is because they're saying the job is just too difficult without those workplace conditions changing.
So what misses out then in terms of funding for that? What other area then do you take that money from to ensure those ratios?
Yeah, well, we've made difficult decisions in the election campaign, Erin, and we've taken lumps for it. I mean, we've made
like
a call.
Swim safety, I read this morning, you're having to take out a swim safety despite a record drowning, I think, rate in New South Wales.
Well, I mean, we've taken decisions particularly around surf rescue. So a record investment in surf life saving is our policy that we're taking because mm-hmm. we've seen, in particular, on a lot of dangerous beaches in New South Wales, people get themselves in trouble. And we know surf life saving, particularly the volunteer organisations, do an amazing job. So there's priorities that we've chosen. I'll give you one example. We've made a decision to wind back labour hire by 25% to 2020 level. So not a massive reduction in terms of, well, there's been a big increase in the last 2 years. That'll save us $1.6 billion. We're freezing senior executive salaries as well as politician salaries for 2 years. That'll save us $600 million. And the budget's $5 billion better off under Labor than it is under the Coalition.
Okay, on another topic, you look fit as on the front of the Daily Tally today, next to Latrell Mitchell. Mate, you focus on your fitness. You must.
You know, I do a little bit of fitness, but I think it's mainly me just, you know, being in the middle of the election campaign. And I don't want to say the
it's
S word,
but
yeah,
it's the
stress.
It's off the grog.
Amazing diet. Yeah.
You said you're off the grog. Yes,
that's
that
right,
helped, doesn't it?
Someone told me you were having a beer with Albo at the pub, and one of the reporters came in and said, "And I can tell you, it was a zero beer."
Yes.
I went, "That's right, he's not drinking."
Yeah, it was pretty. It was at the Unity Hotel in Balmain, which is many people say the birthplace of the Labor Party, and I think I was the only person to ever buy a non-alcoholic beer at that. The first one they sold, they
it
said.
It has not got enough publicity, the fact that you've gone sober.
Thanks, Susie.
We talked about it last time.
Yeah.
It's got to make headlines.
Well, I think the reason is it won't be hugely popular.
you guys don't want to push that.
Beer,
but you must have a vice. Like, so the Premier, for example, we asked him about one of his vices. Are you a vapor, Premier?
Have the occasional one.
Yeah? Yeah? What's your flavour?
Mixed fruit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't think he was particularly happy about so we'll that ask, question either. Good. But do you vape at all?
No, I don't. Never. I don't think I've ever vaped. No.
And stay that way, mate, because I started vaping. I started vaping after Albanese won the election, and I got hooked on it.
Is that right?
But I'm off it now.
He didn't hook you on it, did he?
No, he didn't hook me on it.
Right. Oh, can I tell you, though?
The Albanese election?
Well, just, that was the night. Someone handed me a vape.
Oh, I see. Right,
but
right.
See, he tried, so I would never have tried a vape, but he almost got me on it.
It's
because
terrible.
If I was secondhand vape smoking, so I'd be sitting here in the flavours and you go,
you should be getting me to waft.
I'd be getting him to waft in my
but I'm off it now.
No charge as well.
But I'm off
no,
it
exactly
now.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
But look at it when you become premier, all right? Because there's too many kids vaping. Yes. No, honestly,
my kids tell me that at their school they've installed these vaping detectors in the loo.
Mate, the kids at school joke at my kids' school saying, oh, you know, why are there toilets in the vaping room? You know, so but honestly, look
sort
at
it
that.
Out. Okay. Holiday, King's Coronation. I think WA is saying that they're going to give their people a holiday. Will you give us an extra holiday? It could be an election winner for you.
Oh, look, I'm all up for another holiday. I think probably we can pick a better day for than the King's Coronation.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Not a King Charles fan?
I don't mind King Charles. Actually, I just finished reading Prince Harry's book.
Oh, did you?
God, are
you
cover to cover. That's my vice.
I get it. That's funny.
Are
isn't
you
it
pro
funny?
Harry and Meghan?
I did. I came away thinking Harry was pretty all right.
Yeah,
is that that's pretty unpopular, right? What's wrong with that?
He's an idiot.
Is he an idiot?
He's an idiot. What about the Taliban stuff?
Oh, well, that wasn't great. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know what you mean.
I've got enough to defend. I'm the leader of the Labor Party. I can't take on Harry as well. I mean, there's 3 days to go before the election.
First thing you'll do when you become Premier.
Focus on education. We've got to lift the education
standards. No. That's yep. First thing you'll actually do physically.
Oh.
Like.
Will you stay off
what
the grog?
What do you mean?
Will you stay off the grog?
Like, will you have champagne?
Yeah, of course I will.
Will you go to dinner? He's will you look champagne. At your wife and say, honey, we did it?
You
like,
know,
what do you do?
Definitely take my little boy George down the park to kick a ball or something because he's,
He'll be missing you, is he?
He did last night say, do you reckon we could get up really, really, really early? Oh. And I was like, oh.
Will they give you any respect if you win, do you reckon? Your kids? Will they actually acknowledge their father's done okay?
They're getting into it now.
Are
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they are. They are.
Even the one that's laminated all the front pages aren't flattering.
No.
And
well, they've been destroying my yard sign in the front yard. They've been like culling in the teeth and things like that. But I don't know. They're slowly being won over. Like they're the toughest marginal. Thank God they're under 18 because if they're proper swing voters.
They're realising where the power's going. Right. Though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're smart.
They're gamblers. They're inveterate gamblers, all three of them. So
election this Saturday. Sky News debate. Chris Minns, Doran Perrottet is on tonight. Thank you, Mr. Minns.
Thanks, guys.
Today FM.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Right now, though, it's concussion. It's a front and centre in all the news outlets because of rugby league players, rugby union players, AFL players as well.
Well, it's all off the back of this class action that the AFL have launched, a lot of players involved. But the issue is that it's not actually just kind of professional athletes. A lot of them are talking about the head knocks that they received as kids playing just at a kind of everyday level as opposed to professional sports. So we, it got us thinking as to whether or not we'd let our kids play contact sport.
I was a big AFL fan, tried to get my son into AFL as like a 9, 10-year-old, but just would never put his head over the ball. And I'm like, mate.
And that's an issue, is it?
I'm like, if you're not going to go in hard, you know, let's not do it.
Yeah.
And he decided not to do it.
Yeah, he's basketball, isn't he,
and loves. I'm here for basketball every day of the week. Very few concussions in basketball. And it's indoor sport. So that's an option for people if they want to stay away from the contact
now,
ones.
Scott from Penrith, how many kids have you got and are they playing contact sport?
All right, so all up, we got 7. I've got 3. My girl's got 4. But so my brother and my stepson, they both started their first week of rugby league 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they're all head geared up and all that type of stuff. And then I've got my 16-year-old son. He plays his first game tomorrow. So he's all head geared up. Got all
Wait,
the
so his
gear.
First game of rugby tomorrow of ever or just of the season?
Well, I believe it's his first game ever. So they're doing trials for school.
How much does he weigh, your son?
Oh, geez, he's a bit taller than me. He'd be pushing 100 kilos.
All right. But you need to be, though, because he's going to be playing against kids who are probably 110, 120 kilos, isn't he?
Well, I'll tell you something. The under-12 brothers team the other week. See, my stepson plays in the under-12 brothers. He's 11. He's playing up a year. And my brother's under-12s as well. He's playing in it. Some of the players on that team the other day were bigger than me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They grow quick. Are you worried?
I'm not worried for my son. I don't know about my stepson and my brother. My brother's out for a couple of weeks now. So
he concussed already.
He got a stud to his thumb.
Yeah.
But he's come straight from soccer to playing full contact sport, and he had six great runs. I'm very proud of him, Bailey.
But they say even with soccer, the headers are also causing concussion, aren't they?
So safe to say, Scott, it's not causing you undue concern. You're not pulling your kids out and putting them into ballet.
No, it's not causing me concern. I'm quite happy for them to play football. I mean, Matey was saying earlier, as long as, you know, if there is a concussion, you just got to get it treated properly and how you deal with it.
Well
right?
said, yeah.
Mm.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Scott. Keep your calls coming. 13 10 60.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Do you let your kids play contact sport, like heavy contact sport? We're talking rugby league, rugby union. We're talking AFL.
Even soccer to an extent with headers and stuff like that. Yeah, just off the back of all this talk about the damage that head knocks and concussion are doing to people who've played for years and years.
Now, Ed, you told us off air about your last game of rugby league.
Union. When I was quite a young child, about 8 or 9, I was playing for a local club, and I don't remember it, but my last game was me playing, and because I was mildly tall, I was the second rower, and I got an elbow in the scrum, and I stopped the game. I only know this because when I came to, after I'd been knocked out, I was told by my mother that she had walked on the field, taken me off the field, and I was never allowed to go back.
Oh.
But I still played rugby league in high school.
See, that's love. That's
so
beautiful.
Can you remember saying, "Mom, I really want to play," or not?
The last thing I remember it very clearly. The last thing I remember was having the ball, and because I was somewhat tall, moving forward while small children clawed at my midriff, and then a scrum. Because I probably dropped the ball and the elbow came then.
Yeah. But, you know, the tallest kid on the field getting walked off by his mother.
Yeah. But then look at him now. Look at how witty he is, how smart he is.
Yeah, but is he
happy? His mother hadn't, probably not, but none of us are.
I'm making a comeback. West Tigers have approached me because I know how to drop the ball. Now, Michelle from Pennant Hills, what's going on with your husband and your son?
My husband refuses to let my son even think about playing rugby when he's older.
And you want your son to play rugby?
I always wanted him to if I had a son, because our family's very into rugby. But after seeing all the research he had done, and, you know, the autopsies they had done on players, please anymore.
But I believe that you want him to go down the soccer route. But do you understand that soccer's also in question because of the headers and a lot of that's causing a lot of brain injuries as well?
Well, his dad's very into wants him to go that way. Well, so I suppose once he does the research on that, it might be a different
story. That'll be over as well. I don't think you can do anything. Once you do the research, you can't do anything.
Look, there's risk with everything. But you also, Michelle, like you'd rather, you know, you want your kids, the benefits of sport are immense, aren't they, for kids? But you've just got to find the one that has the least amount of risk.
Correct. I think.
Yeah. Basketball, Michelle. Basketball. Basketball is the go. And Ed, you should have been a basketballer. You're 6'5". Well, you're no good at basketball.
How do you know?
I was a lot better than you are, young man. Now, Kamal from Dundas Valley. Kamal, what is your job, sir?
Yeah, hi there, guys. My name's Kamal, as you've mentioned. Right. I'm a physiotherapist. I work in a CTP claims department at the moment.
Wow. Where
we see a lot of motor vehicle accident victims.
Can you just, CTP, what does the acronym stand for?
Compulsory third party. So you know how you pay your green.
Compulsory third party, right.
Well, I thought you were talking about CTE, which is the issue that Paul Green, the former Cowboys coach, had. No, yeah, right, that's a condition
developed.
So CTP,
You see whiplash injuries through car accidents?
Correct. And the latest research, we're obviously kept up to date with the latest research, is demonstrating that even from a whiplash mechanism, so in the absence of a head knock, just that acceleration-deceleration mechanism is enough to cause a concussion. Mild, of course, but over years and years, the body knocks that come with tackling.
Yeah, heavy sports, tackling.
Is enough to cause mild concussion.
So those big hits you see in rugby league, and even a big tackle where it goes bang and you see the guy's head, and you know he didn't get hit in the head, but you see his head sort of whip back, that can cause concussion.
Absolutely. Yep, according to latest research.
Wow. Yep. So what about your kids? You're a father?
I am a father. I've got a 10 and an 8-year-old, and somewhat hypocritically, I allow them to play soccer. But, you know, as you mentioned, Erin, it's about finding something that they love that's minimal risk.
Yeah.
And for soccer, kind of allows them to stay fit. But, you know, it's not as risky as rugby league or rugby union.
Yeah. I reckon they might ban the header in soccer eventually, though.
Yeah. I'm talking about it in England already at junior sport level. And UK academies are arguing. They say they need it to get their skills better. Yeah. And then the doctors are saying, yes, but kids don't need to do it.
Well, so, I mean, if they want to...
So you can only do headers once you become professional.
Yeah, first day of the Premier League, they go, this is the header. Yeah, good luck with that. Thank you all. Family Pastor Taronga Zoo. We'll keep following that at 7:49. Up shortly, Wedding for One is almost upon us. Oh. And we've got something beautiful for one of our brides and how you can get involved and join us at Dalton House.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast. Husey, Ed and Erin's Wedding for One.
Yeah, I can love me better than...
Holy moly, Mr. Roses delivering love with the world's finest flowers Australia wide. MrRoses.com.au, they've come on board to provide the flowers for the day. Yes, we're going to be at Dalton House. And yes, you can join us. There's $1,000 cash to be given away for someone who's just going to be in the audience.
Champagne too.
Hey, why don't we give a double pass away right now? Let's just do it.
Yep, 131060. There are no requirements. Just 131060 if you'd like to come along to Wedding for One and Dalton House.
And you know what I've heard? I haven't seen it because, you know, we can't see it till the wedding day, but I've heard Erin's gown is unbelievable and there's been so much talk about it.
I'm a little nervous because I think it's completely see-through.
It's got a see-through gown Erin's going to be wearing.
But they have assured me that I don't need to wear anything underneath, that there are things in places that, and things like...
I've heard that there's contingency plans.
Oh, for the love of God.
There's contingency plans in case on the day Erin goes, hang on. But I tell you what, you want to be there or you want to be watching our live Insta because it could blow up the internet.
I'll have to have Eliza walk in front of me down the aisle and not behind.
Let's talk to one of our other brides.
Megan, No Man Megan.
No Man Megan, have you sorted your gown out, Megan?
I have. Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Is it see-through or not? Or is Erin going to be the only one with a see-through? You're right.
No, mine is absolutely stunning. Yeah. Not as stunning as Erin's.
Oh, but, no, I'm sure it will be. Oh, my Lord.
But now, it's less than a week away. It's so exciting.
You must be nervous, are you?
I am a little bit nervous, but I'm also excited.
Now, you have written some vows out for yourself. We want you to tell us a few of them now because we love what you've written about yourself.
Yeah, it's incredible and it's really inspiring. So can you share a little bit of what you might say?
Have you got any music we can put underneath it? Just...
And these are obviously the vows that people exchange.
I don't know if it's that sort of music.
Wedding march.
The wedding march. You got the WAP. Wedding march there? Or
play WAP.
Is there a wedding march, Nick, you can put under it? Or...
Play All the Single Ladies.
Hang on, here we go.
Some Wagner.
Here we go. We
got Beethoven.
Here we go.
Enrique.
What do we got?
I'll be your hero.
Hang on. Have we got that?
Sorry, Megan. We're just trying to provide some atmosphere. Okay. It should have been a pre-thought.
No, we didn't think about it. So here we go.
Perfect.
Sounds like you're about to go to war.
Hang on. Wait till this is... Here we go. Go.
Go, Megan.
Okay. Although I drive myself crazy at times, leave mess lying around the house, and constantly need to unclog the shower drain after washing my hair. All jokes aside, I'm proud of the woman I am today. I'm beautiful both on the inside and outside. I'm strong both physically and mentally. I'm smart, both intelligent and wise. And above all, I'm me. There is no one else like me.
Give that a round of applause.
Really good. Really good.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sentiment. And it's what I hope that sentiment is within all our brides on what is going to be a special day.
It's so inspiring. I'm so inspired by all these women who have gone through this journey of self-love because it's so hard to get there. Like we're battling so many things that
Shouldn't
tell us
be.
That we're not good enough all
Shouldn't
the time.
Yeah, hard.
But it is hard. I know you're in this place of, I am a guru. I have no thought. I am, you know, beyond it all. But for most of us, we're constantly battling how we feel about ourselves. So I love that, Megan.
You're incredible women. And at the moment, you're doing it on your own and you're doing it with love in your heart.
Yeah, that's so lovely. What about Dawn from Prairie Wood? Dawn, are you going to come on Tuesday?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Are you available on Tuesday to witness what will be an amazing event?
Absolutely, I would love to. I think the whole concept of this is just beautiful. I'd love to hear it.
Dawn, can I ask you, are you kind of conservative / a prude? Like, would you be offended if you could see more than you bargained for in my dress?
No, absolutely not. No, not at all.
I think the question for Erin is to slip or not to slip.
I'm not slipping.
You're not slipping.
I am 39. I am likely never, ever going to get married, ever, which I'd never have thought when I was 20, that I'd never walk down the aisle properly. So this is my only chance. And if I want to show everything that I have.
No undergarments.
No, I'll wear undies.
You will wear underwear.
Of course. Oh, my God. I'm not a porn star. Just don't want to wear a petticoat.
1060, lines are open. If you would like to play Alpha Box, underwear situation is up to you.
The new Today FM. One thing I love about Matt Damon, a world famous actor, is he's not a look at me sort of guy. He's not like, oh, this is what I'm doing. You know, he's not always craving attention.
Yeah, it's hard for you to relate to him, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I aspire to be him, but I'm a long way from that. But recently someone revealed something about Matt Damon. He didn't reveal it, but a celebrity tattoo artist called Daniel Winter revealed this, that Matt Damon has a tattoo on his body honouring his late father. Matt Damon's father, Kent, passed away in 2017 at the age of 75. And Damon has the tattoo Nomad tattooed to his body. I'm not quite sure where it is.
I'm just looking at it now, which I now on the next line, because that's Damon spelled backwards.
But it's also the name of Matt's late father's boat.
Yeah.
So he got in honour of his late father. So every time he looks at Nomad now, he thinks about his dad and his boat and the good times they had on that boat together. Which I think is lovely.
Yeah, it is lovely. See, I mean, tattoos are such a personal thing, but I do like them a lot more when they have real intense meaning.
My nephew Daniel has my father's name and birth date tattooed to his arm.
So that's his grandpa, isn't it?
Yeah, my dad, which is Daniel's grandfather. They had a special relationship. My dad was really good with kids. He was just a really fun sort of guy.
Yeah.
And kids always loved dad. And so Daniel, who only, when my dad passed, Daniel would have been around probably 19.
But he
loved his grandfather so much, on his arm, very prominently, has his name, Desmond Francis Hughes.
Oh, the whole name.
Yeah, and his birth date. And which is a lovely tribute.
Really lovely, isn't it? And it's such a personal thing because they're not for everyone. But I've got a couple of tattoos. You've got your wife's, you've got your wedding ring tattooed on your finger.
My wife's name is tattooed on my wedding ring finger, partly because I've got webbing on that hand. And it's very hard for a wedding ring to stay on that finger. I thought, why not just get her name, which I can't get rid of. But I think she does enjoy it.
She would absolutely. I don't know. Do men do that? Do they slip off wedding rings when they're like, I don't know, is that a thing?
Sometimes they just fall off if you've got webbing on the hand. Maybe.
Fell off.
Can we talk to people who have got something really, personal tattooed to their bodies?
I do. I mean, hello, do you remember this moment?
What is it? H? No, you have not. That's not real, is it? She's got H, E, and E. She's got Husey, Ed, and Aaron tattooed on her finger.
Show tattooed on my finger.
She's got our show.
It means can't dump us.
This is
ever.
This is gold. Yes.
You are the best person. Yes. She's done it. She's done it.
That is commitment to a brand.
Absolutely.
But you got it on the inside of your finger, so it was going to wear off. Can we have a look at it now?
That's the wrong finger.
It's still there.
It is still there. And then I've got a four-leaf clover on my belly.
Oh, the H is almost gone. The E and the E is still there.
Who have you got? Who have you got in tribute tattooed on your body? Who is it? Is it a family member? Is it a famous person? Who have you got tattooed on you? Maybe it's a band, a sick band. 131060, lines are open. Who have you got tattooed on your body? $100 Red Rooster voucher. for telling us.
But also you get to give them one more tribute, you know. There's someone you loved. This is your chance to give them a shout out on the radio. They're probably listening from up above.
Or you tattooed on someone. Maybe it's an ex-boyfriend tattooed you on them. That's funny. Yeah, well, not as emotional or inspiring, no, but funny.
You think someone might be listening from the other side.
Yeah, give us a call from heaven.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
It's tattoos and what you've got on your body. We're inspired by Matt Damon, who has the word nomad on his body because it was his late dad's boat. He's also got Lucy on his shoulder as well, and his wife's name's Luciana. So,
yeah.
So Matt Damon is inking up because he loves people.
I'm blown away by the amount of calls we've gotten, particularly from mums and women, like big into the tattoos.
So
I love it.
Your dad passed away recently, Erin.
Yeah,
so you could
a couple of months ago. Yeah, I was just, we were talking about it in the ad break. I'd never really thought about it. But yeah, I might actually think about doing something. Like I was just saying, he's like the screensaver on my phone and I feel like he's with me all the time. But to do something a bit more permanent to be with me all the time, given I've already got a couple of really little tattoos,
yeah.
I might actually look at that.
All right. Well, who else has done it?
Dan from Londonderry. Who have you got tattooed on you?
I've got my mum, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, my ex and my grandparents.
So you're quick to get how many? So you've got like seven or eight names on your body already.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Whereabouts, mate?
I've got mum and dad on my shoulder blades with the Polish flag and the Maltese cross.
Yep.
Yeah. Then I've got my brothers and sisters in the middle of my back in a big cross.
Yep.
Then I've got my ex on my heart.
Ooh.
Then I've got my grandfather's on my forearms.
Yeah. What about your ex though? So are we going to get that removed or that's going to stay there?
Eventually, yeah, that'll come to mind. But at the moment, I haven't.
Have you got a new partner?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, how does she / he feel?
Well, she's been telling me to get it removed for like 6 years now. Yeah?
6 years.
Oh, 6 years. Yeah.
That's a long time, mate.
So she has to lie with her head on your ex partner's. Basically
yeah, but
name.
She sees through that. Yeah, she's a woman.
Yeah, I know. But that seems like a long time to have.
You're
busy at the tattoo, I think.
Keeping a flame.
Anyway,
have you ever got it removed before?
Yeah, that's a good point. It hurts.
Yeah, but have you added your new partner of 6 years? Have you added her yet?
Yeah, she's underneath it.
Oh,
in the heart.
She's
underneath, below.
All right, fair enough. That's okay. That's okay.
Leaderboard.
Thanks,
Tanya
Ben.
From Earlwood. Now, whom do you have tattooed on you?
I have a picture of a blackbird on my arm for my son, Jack, who passed away from brain cancer almost 8 years ago.
How old was Jack?
He was 8.
Oh, honey.
And one of his favourite songs was Blackbird by the Beatles.
Oh, goodness.
Oh.
Tanya.
It's all the feels.
Yeah. Would you say about 8 years ago, you still every single day live with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When he passed away, a piece of me went too. So, yeah. But that way, it's having the blackbird, something special. It's also, people don't tend to ask who's Jack. So it's just something very special for me.
That's really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank
that's heartbreaking.
Thank you.
Thanks, lovely.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Absolutely beautiful.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
You know what? Love so many things about Erin Molan. One of them is her honesty and her willingness to share her own issues. You know, and you wrote an article recently, which has got so much attention, and it's about your love of therapy or love, is it
a
word?
It's such a strange thing because I was, I guess you'd say, a non-believer for many years in that I thought it was kind of a little bit wanky. And I always thought, like, my dad was, you know, this major general and went to war, and if things were tough, it didn't matter. You just got on with it. You just always just got on with it. So I never really got help with you know, things like my mind or anything
For me, it sounds like it's a LA thing where everyone in LA goes to therapy.
Has a therapist, et cetera. But I've done a podcast as well with Sarah Grimberg.
She's brilliant.
She's incredible. It's A Life of Greatness on the Listener app. And she released a little bit. I think it's just been released now, this podcast chat. And I spoke a little bit about it.
I wonder for you how seeing a psychologist has helped you through this process. So talking to her is not going to make the pain of losing dad go away.
what we're doing is unpacking so many other things and past traumas and all these things that enable me to handle my feelings better. And I saw this thing the other day that said, you know, I don't go to my psychologist to be happy all the time because that's impossible. I go to my psychologist to be better at all the feelings.
That's, yeah, it's full on.
See, even like saying the word past traumas, like 6 months ago, I would have heard someone use that as a term and thought, you know, it sounds really knobbish and self-indulgent and past traumas, like what even are they? But now I just, I seem to have this incredible appreciation for seeing my psychologist, and it's changed my life. And it was basically, I was in hospital with Dad, and it was a couple of weeks before he passed away. And I was just really struggling to even, I guess, understand how I would survive this experience and how I would be able to go on losing someone. And it's still hard for me because it's still a couple of months. It's only been a couple of months. But I actually reached out to this lady that I've been following online who's a psychologist, and I wasn't specifically expecting her to help me, but I just said, hey, can you suggest someone that might be good for me right now, because I need some help. You know, I just need someone to talk to, basically, and someone who might be able to say, hey, what you're feeling's normal, and yes, you will get through this, of course you will, and et cetera. And she came back and said she would do it. And it's been, so it's been kind of nearly 3 months now. And I've got to say, as someone who's not really into talking about emotions that much, and I'm 39, and I've had, you know, 20 years of relationships and things that have failed, things that have gone well, challenges, tough things in life that I've never spoken about publicly, that every single person goes through, that I've never even said out loud. And to actually talk to someone and say them out loud, it's just felt like this cloak has been lifted, and I just feel like I'm just...
How often are you seeing it?
Like once a week.
Yeah.
Probably. But in those early, like those first few weeks, like it was maybe twice, you know, sometimes three times a week, when I was really kind of just looking for help.
And you have said that she doesn't pull her punches. She's very honest
she
with you.
She is brutal. Like, she's told me a couple of times that I need to grow the beep up. and that was quite triggering, because I remember when my mother gave you a lift when we were in Canberra after doing a show there. I think it was a budget, Josh Frydenberg's budget a while back, and Mum had said something similar to you. But as I said, like, she's not just talking about Dad. It's really interesting because Dad's the hardest thing for me right now. But what she does is talk about all the other stuff that I've never spoken to anyone about, that probably most people deal with as they go through life. And I've always just said, nope, you just carry on, be tough. You don't need help. And dealing with that is actually enabling me to cope with losing Dad better, because now I feel like I understand why I do things, or why I make the same mistakes in relationships, or why I always go from one to another, or all these different things I now get. It's actually just been really enlightening.
I've got a few mates who go to therapy regularly. I still find it hard to –
Have you tried it ever?
No, I've never done therapy. I'd like to hear from people, though, who have done it.
Me too. I want to know if you see a psych, because look, the point of writing, but the point of writing the article is that people I know, it's so expensive for a lot of people. And once you use your amount of subsidized sessions, a lot of people can't afford it. And that breaks my heart, that if you need to see a psychologist, just like if you break your leg, you go to a doctor.
There is places like Headspaces, and there is like public.
You can always get help, but it's, you know, you've just got to be a bit more creative if things are tough, which they are for a lot of people. But I want to know, do people see a psych? And we've got to remove the stigma, because it's actually, for me, I spend 99% of the time talking, and she listens and might give me one or two gems. So it's actually just talking to someone.
You can also ring. You know, you can ring. There's like, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, at the upper scale is Lifeline, you know?
Absolutely. If you're ever in trouble, you ring Lifeline every day of the week. There's a lot of those services who do an incredible job. But, yeah, so you wouldn't, because it's not for everyone.
Yeah, but I'm always up for talking, and you know that. I've been a therapist of yours for a while as well.
You have been bearing the weight of this, and let me tell you, if you charged what she does an hour, you would be much richer than you are.
I'm always happy to talk to people.
No, you're a good man.
The new Today FM. Erin, you're a fan of therapy. You never thought you would be, but you are.
Yes, I've discovered it later in life, and I do. I'm really passionate about talking about it, because I think there's still a stigma that doesn't need to be there. But I tell you what, though, the amount of callers we've had, that stigma's going really quickly, because so many people do it.
No doubt about it. There's blokes doing it, and blokes you wouldn't think are doing it. Is Kurt from Glendenning? Are you one of those blokes, Kurt?
How you going, Hughie?
Yeah, good. So you do therapy?
Yeah, I'm a scaffolder. I've got on site, the boys know me as Kurt, but also Philip, and Philip's a psycho. And he's got no filter, no tolerance. Yeah. And it was really affecting. I was getting like this. I was getting this nickname, Philip, everywhere, and I didn't really like it.
Because your red mist goes, and you just go berserk on and scaffolding and that sort of those sort of trades. They're known for people to be
100%.
Yeah, to be a bit crazy. Let's be honest. So yeah, and you out of all those people, you're still top of the pop. So what did you do, mate?
I got referred to a program called Smart Recovery. It's a you do like a Zoom meeting on a Monday night after work from 6 to 7:30, and we just talk about the last 7 days and the next 7 days and any problems we've had or we see of having in those days, and just being able to talk about my feelings in that setting with like trained professionals as well as in the group setting around my peers. It's really helped me unload.
Yeah.
And I haven't really... No one's seen Philip. He's gone MIA.
Oh, I love that. The death of Philip. What a wonderful thing. Oh, that good on you, Ken. Good on you for calling and sharing that as well, because for blokes it's even harder.
Have you shared that with the other blokes on the work side, or do they know that you've seen someone, or are you keeping it quiet there?
Oh, it's half-half. Like a few people have definitely, you know, that knew Philip, they used to just say, "Where's he gone, mate?" and I've told them, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, good on you."
I'm proud of you, Kurt. That's amazing. Well done. Who else?
Alex from Windsor. You work in a very traumatic job, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. So I'm a trauma nurse at the Children's Hospital, and I have seen a lot, and I got to a point where I ended up in hospital with anxiety.
Wow.
I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't function.
Yeah.
And at this point is when I realized how many free services we have out there. We have the mental health community centers for every area out there. We have MindSpot, which is an online platform that you can talk to trained professionals and do courses through for anxiety and depression. We also have, of course, paid psychologists and counsellors out there, but there is so much free help out there that people do not know about until they end up in an unfortunate position like I did.
And you have been seeing someone on a regular basis now?
Yes, so I see somebody once a week for it, and without that I could not function.
Yeah, it gets like that, doesn't it? You become so reliant upon it, and it's, you know, it's the healthiest kind of addiction that you'll ever have, really, they say. So well done, good on you, and thanks for telling us about all those free services as well, Alex, because I didn't know that they all existed.
No, not many people know until they unfortunately end up in the position that I did, and then, you know, then you have the whole wide world open to you.
Yeah. But also be mindful of who cares for the carers, people who are in jobs themselves where they see traumatic, things all the time. They also need help.
First responders. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, great call. Thanks, Alex.
It's no secret Husey, Ed and Erin love a break. You can have your very own break to Australia's best kept secret, Canberra. Visit the win page at hit.com.au for more.